Father, we are grateful to come before you today and have the opportunity to be touched and blessed by your Holy Spirit. God, you know this past week I spent a lot of time with you seeking and searching. And you convicted my heart of just how far short I've been falling as a pastor. You've put some truths in my heart that I'm going to try to share today. But I need your help. And I need your help to open the hearts of people today. So I ask you, Father, in this time to forgive me, forgive all of us of our sins, and allow us to come together as a family to be touched by you, the only one that can truly guide us and solve problems in our lives and lead us to what you would have us be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This week when Bonnie and I had the opportunity to go to Florida for a week, and really we did nothing except sit there. It was nice being away in the warm weather, but I spent time with God. I try to spend God all the time, and I went there to write a tremendous sermon, and instead I came out with no sermon except a convicted heart. And I just want to explain to you what happened to me over this period of time. I went there with two books. One's called The Discipline of Spiritual Discernment. The other one's called Soul Obsession by Nikki Cruz. This book is an intellectual book. It is about... It's a book that can open your heart and teach you things about the Bible. But it does not necessarily connect you with God. This book, on the other hand, written by a man who never graduated from high school, a man that was, Nikki Cruz, was the leader of a gang in the Bronx of New York called the Mau Maus. He was a Puerto Rican. He came from Puerto Rico, from a family. His mother and father were both into witchcraft. They were devil worshipers. Nikki was one of the meanest, cruelest, lost people you'd ever meet on the face of the earth until God got a hold of his heart and changed him. Young, luckily, because he would have never made it into his older life had he had not met God. And what I realized when I read this book is that some of you don't like to hear this term, but Satan is after every one of us. He's chasing us down. I've been reading through the Old Testament again. In Exodus, I read the story of Moses leading the Israelites away from Pharaoh. And I told you that when you read this book, it is speaking to your life today. And the way it spoke to me when I read that chapter this week is that Satan wants to prevent you from connecting with God for a very good reason, which I'm going to be talking about. Because when the power of God comes into your life, Satan stands no chance, and you have a chance to change the world. You have a chance to change your families. You have a chance to change your neighbors, your children, your grandchildren, the church, the town. You don't know what God's capable. Here's what I've learned this week, is that we are leaving a treasure of blessings in heaven because we don't know how to open that treasure chest. And the reason is we are being pursued by Satan, and he's going to use every trick in the book to prevent you from coming to Jesus Christ. Including pastors, including all of you that come to church every Sunday. He knows your weak point. Pharaoh was representative of this person who was lost, who didn't know God. He was going to prevent Moses from leading his people out to worship God and eventually take him to the promised land. That's a whole condensed story of our whole life. When you read that, and I'm not going to go into that today because I have so much I want to tell you about how far short we are falling from receiving the blessings of God because we get numb. Satan is pursuing each and every one of us. When you read the story of King David, when David was young and, you know, he slew Goliath with a stone and eventually he becomes king. And King David had everything. God even said that David was after his own heart. David was this man. He made him wealthy. He had many wives. He had treasures. He had gold. He had silver. He was well known. He was loved. He was liked. But Satan knew his Achilles tendon. And arranged it so one night David saw a young woman named Bathsheba on a roof bathing. And David succumbed to that temptation. And he had to pay a terrible price for it. And I'm not here to tell you about the story of David yet either. But I'm telling you that all these stories in this Bible speak to you. And that's why I pray that every one of you will get in the habit of reading this book every day. Because Satan is after you. And he wants to prevent you from having all the riches that he has for you in this life. In this life. We've come to a point in Christianity, God's convicted my heart, that we have become lazy, kickback Christians with half our foot in Satan's corner and half our foot in Jesus' corner. And because of that, we're paying the price of mediocrity. We're not changing the world. We're not doing things that I know God wants us to do. Nikki Cruz was brutal. As leader of the Mau Maus, they would rob and beat people. He had nothing. He was poor. He was broke. He grew up in a satanic family that all he knew was hate and crude survival. He had 17 brothers and sisters back in Puerto Rico. He was one of 17. And mom and dad didn't give a hoot about any of the kids. They would beat them. They would mistreat them. And they went on with this satanic worship out in there in this little house in Puerto Rico. And somehow Nikki Cruz got to the Bronx in New York. He had to get away from that. But in New York it got worse because then he joined this gang and became the leader of the gang. He thought his mission in life was survival. So when he and his gang members would go down to the red light district for when the rich businessman would come down to find their women or gamble in the illegal gambling spots, they would beat these guys up. They knew they had money. They'd do whatever it took to get so they could survive. And then one day, Nikki met a little preacher, a street preacher. And the street preacher kept showing up and telling Nikki that God has a plan for your life, son, and you're going to die in sin if you don't give your life to Jesus Christ. And Nikki would look at him, and Nikki could not believe. He says, I wonder if this skinny little runt of a preacher knows who he's talking to. I could slit his throat right now and be done with it. But there was something that kept bringing Nikki back. He knew where the street corner preacher would hang out, and he'd go back. And one day, Nikki finally succumbed and he went to the street preacher's church. And the street preacher told him about the love of Jesus Christ. And Nikki wondered, is it possible? And Nikki changed his life. He accepted Jesus Christ. If anyone could have no future, it would have been Nikki Cruz. He's since published about 15 books. I've gotten 3 of them. Soul Obsession is the one that's grabbed my heart. It's a book that's changed the way I want to preach. It's a book that's changed. It's just helping me understand how little we just are missing God. And I don't want anyone to miss God or the power of God. I've had a taste of God. I know what God can do. I know He's life-changing. I want to take you to a part of this book. And the best way I can explain this to you is to actually read Nikki's words.
to get to the part where Nicky goes to his mother and his father. Nicky finds out that his mother is dying. And I want you to know what the power of God can do. I couldn't remember. Here's what's going on. Nicky has given his life to Jesus Christ. His life is going good. And he gets a message from his sisters and brothers in Puerto Rico that his mother is dying. And Nicky doesn't want to go see her. So why would I want to go see that woman? She was a devil worshiper. She hated me. She told me I was a child of the devil, that I would never amount to anything, that I would die young. And this is where Nicky comes in. I couldn't remember how many times I'd sworn never to come back, never again to darken the evil doors of my parents' home, yet here I was. My mother was dying. As I slipped through the small corridors of our house, I could feel the satanic forces surrounding the house, the forces that had kept my family bound in darkness for so many years. My mother didn't recognize me the first time I walked into her bedroom, and I can still see her lying there, babbling incoherently with sweat pouring down the sides of her face. I tried to talk to her, but she just stared at me, her eyes cold and empty, lifeless eyes, loveless eyes. "Mama, it's me, Nicky," I said to her several times, but she didn't respond, just stared right through me as if I wasn't there, as if she was possessed by some ancient evil spirit. The sight of my mother's dark and wicked gaze was more than I could handle, so I turned and fled. I told my father I would be back, but I wasn't sure I meant it. "Why am I even here?" I thought. "She doesn't love me. She doesn't even know me. Her days of evil have caught up with her, and now she's facing God's judgment. Who am I to interfere?" So I took off walking down the street, down the long road leading away from my parents' house, away from the evil that hovered and haunted all around me. The whole time I was there, I could feel Satan taunting me, touching me, grabbing my clothes. My parents' home was a rat hole of evil, and I could feel it with every fiber of my being, and I had to get away to escape the forces of oppression that were attacking me. I considered catching an early flight back to New York, back to my wife, Gloria, and a new life in God's service. People there needed me. People at Teen Challenge, the ministry that God had called me to. And there they understood me. They knew that I was no longer a slave to my past, no longer bound to the hate and abuse of my childhood, no longer the child of the devil that my mother had tried to make me. She deserves this fate. She will die as she lives, surrounded by sin, possessed by evil. I can't help her now. No one can. She worships Satan on earth. Now she will spend eternity licking his boots in hell. As I walked along the lush green valley, listening to the birds singing and the animals scurrying through the woods, the further I got from the house, the more peaceful things became. The scent of Satan grew dimmer with each step, and I had every intention of leaving and going back to New York and forgetting my mother forever. And I'm going to put my past behind me. Yet somewhere deep in my spirit, I knew I couldn't. God wouldn't let me go. I knew I had to go back. And suddenly, I heard the sound of singing in the distance. Beautiful voices echoing through the wind like songs of praise. I remembered a church not far from my parents' home. And it was Monday evening, and I didn't expect anyone to be in the church, yet the sounds grew stronger as I grew nearer. And I needed to be around other believers, people like me. Maybe they can pray with me, pray for me, give me some spiritual support before I have to face those evil eyes again. So I walked in the church and I sat in the back, and they were having testimonies, so I sat and listened until there was an opportunity for me to rise and make a statement about my family. The pastor didn't know me, so as I stood, I introduced myself and said, "Hi, my name is Nicky Cruz, son of Don Gallo and Ala Velasquez Cruz, and I went to ask to come for you to come and pray for my mother." The pastor said, "Welcome, Nicky," and he embraced me. And a group gathered around us, and I told them about my dying mother and explained my need for prayers and support as I was speaking. And I repeated, "Pastor, would you be willing to come with me and pray with my mother?" But before I had a chance to answer, I turned to those standing nearby and asked, "Would all of you come, or any of you come, and pray for my mother?" And no one said a word. The silence was deafening. and several stepped back, and suddenly one woman moved forward, a woman with fire in her eyes and hate in her voice, and she goes, "We cannot go to that house. That house is evil. That man and woman are demon-possessed. All their children are evil. Even their dog is possessed by the devil. And we will not go near that place." And my heart sank. I glanced around the room and no one would look at me. All the eyes fell to the floor sheepishly. It wasn't apathy, I sensed, but fear. Everyone knew what went on in that spirit house. And I caught my pastor's eyes and locked onto them. And then one last effort, I said to him, "Pastor, I'm going to ask you one more time. Are you willing to come to my house and pray for my mother?" And the pastor's gaze floated around the room as he considered his response. One by one, he looked at those standing nearby. Everyone waiting for his response, he turned to me and said, "Nikki, you know I will be there." And again, he surveyed his small flock, including the woman who had spoken so harshly, and then added, "We will all be there." And we had scheduled to meet at my mother's house around 7 that next evening. By 7:30, no one had shown up. I waited on the front porch, watching the long road winding to my parents' home, yet no one came. "They're not coming," I thought. The pastor couldn't convince anyone to venture near this evil house. At 8 o'clock, I rose to my feet, discouraged, deflated, feeling abandoned and alone. I should have known they were too frightened to come. And I walked toward my parents' front door, but before opening it, I turned to look one more time down the road. And in the distance, I caught sight of some people walking toward the house. Not just a few, but dozens of people. And the line kept growing. Within minutes, people were flocking towards the house. They were playing guitars and tambourines. The sweet fragrance of their music filled the air around us. And soon our yard was packed with fellow villagers. Not 30 or 50, as I had hoped, but several hundred. Never had our small home seen so many visitors. They came from all directions, including introducing themselves as they arrived. They were Methodists, Pentecostals, Lutherans, Presbyterians, Catholics, all faiths, all denominations from all over our little town of Los Pedros, coming to pray for my mother. And they didn't come for a quick visit. They came to rumble with the devil. I could hardly contain the tears as people kept coming, flooding into my mother's home by the dozens. And when the house could hold no more, they surrounded the yard and locked hands. A circle of believers swallowed our tiny home. All around, believers were laying hands on the house, anointing it with oils and blessing and praying for protection and deliverance from evil. My father didn't know what to do. I could see in his eyes how uncomfortable he was, and the rest of my family banded together in a tight circle, quiet, confused, and intimidated. But you could feel the Spirit of God hovering over us, engulfing the halls of this house, encircling my family. The power of His presence was palpable. I made my way into the living room where my mother was lying on the sofa and stood about 6 feet away from her, and I can still see in her eyes as she looked at me, frightened and confused. She knew who I was. I could tell by her anxious gaze. The windows were open. A sudden burst of cool east wind blew through the house, through the halls, filling the rooms with freshness. It was as if God's Spirit had burst through the window, cleansing the house of all evil, joining us in our rumble against this king of darkness. Everyone felt it. Everyone knew that God's Spirit had come to rest among us to show His miracle and His muscle, to shine His grace and His mercy on this house of evil, to open the gates of hell and set the captives free. I noticed the pastor standing across the room from me, and he asked me to say something, and I tried to speak, but words wouldn't come. Tears flooded the sides of my face as I stood weeping, my eyes closed, my heart filled with mixed emotions. What do I say? I wanted to pray, but the words wouldn't come. My mind was in a fog. Tears grew even thicker in my cheeks as I stood silently. I wanted so desperately for God to work a miracle in my mother's heart. I knew that He could. He had done such a miracle in my heart and for many others that I knew. I saw it all the time on the streets of New York. And at that instant, Jesus spoke to my heart as clearly as He's ever spoken. He said, "Nikki, this is your mother. I know she hasn't been a mother to you as you needed. I know the pain you feel. This is God speaking to Nikki, but today is the day of forgiveness. I forgive you, Nikki, but now you need to forgive your mother. Let it go." And as I stood there sobbing, drenched in my own tears, I suddenly felt a tug at the bottom of my pant leg, and it shocked me, and I quickly opened my eyes. And to this day, I don't know how my mother made her way off the sofa and to my feet, but as I looked down, I saw her feeble frame on the floor beneath me. and she could barely raise her arms, yet she found the strength to reach up for me. And her eyes begged me to touch her, to talk to her. And I dropped to my knees and found myself face to face with my mother. And she was still reaching out toward me, her eyes filled with tears. She said, "Nikki, I know how much I've hurt you. I've destroyed you. I have no right to ask you this. But if you can find it in your heart, please forgive me. I'm so sorry for all that I've done." And I tried to speak, but the words wouldn't come. Never had my mother looked at me this way. Never had I ever anything had except hate exploding from her eyes. And now she looked at me with love. I couldn't hold back the tears. I looked deep in her eyes and she spoke again, "Nikki, please let me kiss you." And I leaned my face in closer and my mother kissed me on the cheek. Her lips were warm and tender, lips that had never before touched my face. Not once in my childhood could I remember her kissing me. And I blubbered like a bruised child. And at that very instant, I could feel God reach into my heart, take away the pain, the hate, the indifference for the first time in my life. I loved my mother. The fear was gone. The chasm between us was bridged forever. I felt nothing but love and forgiveness in my heart. "Mama," I said, "you know I forgive you. I love you." And our eyes met and she melted in my arms, sobbing even harder. For an eternity, we wept in each other's arms. And I said to her, "Give your heart to Jesus, Mama. He's the one that wants to forgive you. Accept Jesus' love, Mama. You need Jesus." And there on the floor, crying in my arms, my mother accepted Jesus Christ into her heart. And I prayed with her as she asked God to forgive her for a lifetime of hate and sin. And with my own eyes, I saw the Spirit of God come upon her. Even as I was praying, I could feel her bones strengthen. Her eyes became clear as never before. And she rose to her feet before me, still feeble but able to stand, able to think and speak clearly for the first time in months. And in front of the crowd and my family, not only did God forgive my mother, but He healed her. And though the doctor said she would probably not last through the night, she grew stronger before our eyes. All around the people stood clapping, praying, rejoicing in the miracle we had all witnessed. The witch of Las Piedras was now a child of God. And my mother lived another 25 years and 7 months, and she remained faithful to God until her dying day. And in that time, she was able to also bring my father to Jesus. Passion for Jesus. The power of Jesus Christ. Here's what happens to all of us. We become complacent. Another weapon of Satan. We do not realize the power that Jesus Christ has given us to change our lives. I've become complacent. I hate it. No more. God convicted me. I made so many notes in the back of this. He was talking to my heart. It was pouring out to me. You will never bring someone to Jesus Christ by talking theology. Ever. You will bring people to Jesus Christ by love and compassion like Jesus did, and the power of the Holy Spirit working through you. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that changes us, that can change this church, that can change your family, that can change any brokenness in your life. It's the power of Jesus Christ. One of the questions that I know God said to me and wants me to ask myself regularly is, this what God wants me to do? You know, here's what we all do. This is what I do. Bonnie and I were in Florida. We're saying, what are we going to do someday? You know, you go down by the ocean and you see all these yachts and the beautiful condominiums and the weather's nice. And yeah, you go, man, you know, it'd be great. We can go down there and retire down there and hang out on the beach. Drink pina coladas. Have fun. But the question we must ask ourselves as Christians, is this what God wants me to do? And that is a perfect question for all of us to ask ourselves, no matter what it is we're doing. I don't care if you're a teacher or a nurse or a businessman or a business owner. Is this what God wants me to do? Nikki Cruz goes on to say in this book, he's an evangelist. He goes all over the world into the worst cities possible, especially where there's gangs. And he says he takes 12 disciples and they're young kids that have all given their lives
from the gangs to Jesus Christ. This book is fascinating. It changed me. It helped me. I'm revitalized. But what I realized is how easy it is, like David and like the Israelites, to become complacent with God, even though God's working all around us and was looking for a heart to come into and change and put the power and the fire of the Holy Spirit into you. Is this what God wants me to do? And if not, God, let me get on my knees and beg you, help me, show me, give me the path. Because each and every one of you have an assignment as a Christian to bring other people to Jesus Christ. Not just sitting in pews or not just being a teacher or not whatever. We are to share our faith because it changes lives. One of the craziest things in the Bible you'll read, and I don't know exactly, it's in Samuel because it's about King David. King David has had his affair with Bathsheba. God's disappointed in him, obviously. David is extremely remorseful. Extremely remorseful. God says, there was so much more I could have given you. But now you've chosen a path and it was never quite the same. God still loved David. One of my fears is someday I'm going to go to heaven and God's going to open up this vault and say, see all these blessings that you could have had if you'd have came to me and listened to me and follow me. God, Jesus wants us to walk arm in arm with Him. You're a young couple. You just got married in this church. The best advice I can tell you is to put Jesus Christ in the middle of your marriage, into your heart, into your life. Ask Him, is this what God wants me to do? Let's have the band start to come back up as I finish out. Here's what I can tell you. I know deep in my heart that God has more for you than you can possibly imagine. And I'm praying for this church that by Easter, we will be so on fire with the Holy Spirit. And we will be bringing so many people to Jesus Christ and see these people's lives changed. But we have to be changed first. So many people go to God and say, God, this is my plan. Will you bless it? This is what I want to do in life. Please bless it. That's not the way God wants it done. He wants you to go to Him and say, God, what's your plan for me? And whatever it is, we follow it. And if you read the stories in the Bible of people who do it, the blessings come and they flow. And it will change you. And that's what it's about, this life, changing this life now. Pray more, seek more, put the Word of God in your heart and walk close with Jesus Christ. Let Him lead everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I'm going to ask you today, as we finish out these songs, will you open your heaven and pour out your Spirit into people's hearts today? Let them feel your touch. Prompt them. Lead them. Put the questions in their life. Give them a vision. Allow them to feel your Spirit, that life-changing Spirit. Who do I need to forgive? What do I need to let go of? Jesus, I want to walk with you. I want to be arm in arm with you. Do miracles through me. But help me, because I am weak. And you know that I will stumble and I will fall, but I trust the Lord Jesus who loves each and every one of us. Come to us now. In Jesus' name, amen.